Let's talk about what's been happening in Iran. Ever since 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died in police custody back in September, Iranians have been protesting, with women and young people leading the calls for change.
As soon as they started, they were calling for the downfall of the regime. We had, you know, women taking off their headscarves, cutting their hair, chanting very radical slogans.
Iran's leaders are calling the protests riots and say they're being orchestrated by foreign enemies.
Authorities have tried everything in their playbook to respond, ranging from use of lethal force against protesters to arresting human rights defenders and protesters and activists, to handing down death sentences, to putting out propaganda and misinformation and ignoring them and calling for their ends, but they've not gone away.
So why have the protests lasted this long? And have they changed anything in Iran? Let's take it back to September 13th. Mahsa Amini was visiting the capital, Tehran, when she was arrested by the morality police for what they called her inappropriate attire. Basically, they thought she wasn't dressed right. And Iran's got strict laws about that, which we'll get to in a bit. They took her to a detention center. The police later released this edited footage of her there, showing her talking to an officer and then collapsing. Reports suggest she fell into a coma before being transferred to a hospital. 3 days later, she was dead. A coroner's report said her death was linked to an underlying disease. Her family, though, say that's just not true. They say she didn't have any health problems and that she'd been beaten by the police. Now, as soon as the news about Mahsa's death spread, people started protesting. First outside the hospital in Tehran where she died, and then at her funeral in her hometown of Saqqez in northwestern Iran.
The sheer shock of a 22-year-old woman, a daughter, a woman, a sister, going out in the street and not coming back home alive. The reason that that was the straw that broke the camel's back, or that's why people came to the street, was because in so many ways, the case of Mahsa was what represented the systemic problem with enforcement of compulsory hijab laws in Iran.
Now, these laws date back to the early 1980s, after Iran's Islamic Revolution. That's when the monarchy was overthrown and replaced by the system of government Iran has today. By the way, the hijab laws are not just about women having to wear a headscarf. They're effectively a conservative dress code that all women and girls over 9 are required to follow in public. The punishments for violating the laws have changed over the years, but in the 90s, it became a criminal offense that could lead to a prison sentence. The morality police, in their current form, have been the main agency enforcing the laws since 2006.
I know many women who have had personal experiences. What happens is they are approached by these officials that operate from a van in various parts of the city, and they are told that they're not dressed appropriately. They are taken to a police facility where they are either fined or they are put through an education course about what they should be wearing when they're in public. And usually they are allowed out with a warning the first time that they are detained.
What is important to understand is that the compulsory hijab laws impact every aspect of a woman's life in Iran, because the criteria for what constitutes appropriate hijab is completely arbitrary. So you might be someone who believes in hijab and choose to wear it in a certain way and still get in trouble, or you might not believe in it and get in trouble.
This was one issue that came up following the death of Mahsa Jina Amini, that she actually looked quite impeccably dressed by today's standards. She was wearing a long black robe, she was wearing a long black scarf, compared to a whole lot else that we have seen in, you know, Tehran streets over the last few years. That was pretty good hijab.
And all of this helps to explain why the protests after Mahsa's death are not just about the mandatory hijab laws, but also about something bigger.
Yeah.
at her gravesite, people started chanting Jin Jiyan Azadi, which is the Kurdish equivalent of woman, life, freedom. The slogan was picked up because it really resonated very much with the essence and the spirit of the protest movement, which ties the liberty of the population at large to the liberty of women. There has been this sort of understanding that unless women are free, unless women are given liberties, nobody else will have those liberties either.
People have come to the conclusion that there is absolutely no way that this regime can change its behavior, and there is no way that it can reform itself. And they are quite clear and they are quite persistent in their demands. They want the regime gone.
Since September, rights groups have recorded more than 1,000 protests across the country in over 150 cities. Some of the biggest have been in Kurdistan province, where Mahsa was from. There have also been a lot in and around Tehran. Here's this example where schoolgirls are shouting at a school official. There have also been a lot of protests in Sistan-Baluchistan in the southeast, one of the poorest provinces in Iran. Workers going on strike have also been a big part of the protest movement, including shopkeepers and oil and steel workers.
The situation has been intense for a very long time in Iran. There are several grievances, political, economic issues, the issue of women, personal freedom, the intensification and escalation of the pressure by the so-called morality police in the public spaces. So the situation was tense and it was brewing.
Now the government is trying to shut these protests down, and they're blaming foreign enemies, countries like the US and Israel.
این حادثه‌ای که پیش آمد دختر جوانی در گذشت خب حادثه تلخی بود دل ما هم سوخت ولی واکنش به این حادثه بدون اینکه تحقیقی شده باشه بدون اینکه هیچ گونه امر مسلمی وجود داشته باشه این نبود که عده‌ای بیان خیابون رو ناامن کنند ناامنی رو برای مردم به وجود بیارن امنیت رو به هم بزنن
امروز هر کس در هر کجای این کشور نسبت به اقتشاش آشوب بلوا ناآرامی بدمد در جهت راهبرد امریکایی ها و در جهت راهبرد دشمن حرکت کرده است.
Now, it's always hard to get a clear picture of what's going on in Iran, but the evidence points to a brutal crackdown by security forces.
And other human rights groups have documented use of excessive and lethal force against protesters. They're using pellet guns, shotguns, even in some cases, Colt and other kinds of weapons against protesters.
Hundreds of Iranians have been killed. The government says it's more than 200 since September, including members of the security forces, although they don't break down the numbers. But the UN and human rights groups outside of Iran say the numbers killed are higher. One group says 490 protesters have been killed, including dozens of children, along with more than 60 members of the security forces. And then there are all the arrests, more than 18,000 according to rights groups. That includes activists, journalists, and well-known musicians like Tumash Salehi and Shervin Hajipour, who wrote the protest movement's unofficial anthem. And some of those arrested are facing charges that carry the death penalty. Rights groups estimate that at least 12 people have now been sentenced to death. And we know of at least 2 executions that have already taken place. So there's been this big crackdown. And at the same time, there are signs the government is under pressure. But how much they're really feeling it, well, that's hard to tell. The Attorney General has said that Parliament and the judiciary are reviewing the hijab laws and are expected to announce their opinion soon. But whether that represents any kind of significant concession is part of the debate.
I think this is just
distraction mechanism by the Islamic Republic themselves to distract global and domestic attention from the bigger issues. Let's not forget, nobody is just chanting on the streets in Iran and asking for abolishment of hijab. People are asking for regime change. So people's demands are bigger.
There have also been mixed messages over what's going on with the morality police. There were reports about Iran shutting them down based on slightly confusing comments by the Attorney General. State media then said he was misinterpreted, and there's been no confirmation from the government that anything has changed. But at the same time, some people in Iran are saying the morality police have been less visible than normal over the last few weeks. Now, Iran has seen waves of protests before, and they haven't led to any significant changes. So is anything different this time around? Well, no, according to some people, who reckon these protests will eventually fizzle out too.
They will die down eventually because the society will not back insecurity coming with the rioters in the streets.
But others are convinced that there really is something different going on this time around.
I think it's the first time where we see a lot of different groupings, both socially, ethnically, religiously, people really coming together and expressing their demand for bringing down the Islamic Republic.
The most important outcome of this is the loss of fear of the government. And Iranian people are no longer defining state as this untouchable, absolute power that they cannot confront.
Regardless of where these protests go and how they end, they have turned the page and have changed the conversation. Ordinary people, along with activists and public figures, have and are continuing to create an alternative image, an alternative reality of what life could look like.
We did an episode last year about Iran's presidential election. Check it out if you want to understand more about how President Raisi came to power and the way Iran's political system works.